We're holding on page 112 in Sanhedrin, about the middle of the page, middle of Os Kuf Hei, Kuf Hof Vav, rather. We're in the middle of talking about the story of the Akedah, because we talked about that when a person is known to be a Navi, then you have to follow him, even if he doesn't give you an Os, and therefore Yitzchak listens to Avraham, even though Avraham didn't give him an Os that he's a Navi, because Avraham was already known to be a Navi. With that said, there are Mephoshim who say there is a major discussion among Achronim, among others, the Mishnah Lamelach and the Sefer Parshas Drachim, and others after him talk about whether Avraham and Yitzchak and that whole family, whether they had the status of Bnei Noach at that time until the Torah was given, or whether they had the status of Bnei Yisrael already, which has various implications in Halacha, and the Parshas Drachim explains that was the nub of the machlok, the machlokas between Yosef and his brothers about certain things they were doing, etc., etc. So one point of it is this, that you have to listen to a Navi regardless, is one of the 613 mitzvahs. It's not necessarily one of the mitzvahs that's incumbent on Goyim. So therefore you could say, in that sense, that it was a Nisoyan for Yitzchak as well, the fact that he wasn't necessarily obligated to follow his father just because he's a Navi, and he did anyway, and that's a tremendous source of his. B'chlal, there's a good deal of discussion. You know, we always talk about it at Hester Nisyonis, Nisnasa Avram Avinu, that Avram Avinu was tested with the 10 tests, but at least this one involves Yitzchak as well. So why don't we consider it as much a test of Yitzchak? And we talk about Yitzchak's chus in it, but we don't necessarily talk about it so much as a test for Yitzchak. And there's an enormous number of explanations that are given. Every Darshan in every generation has had what to say about that. Among others, is the fact that so first of all, I mean, there is the fact, for example, Avraham, like we talked about yesterday, is minas hachesed, Yitzchak is minas hagvura. So for him to do something gvuradik like that is not as big a deal as for Avraham, where it goes completely against his usual derech. Is the idea Avraham is going to have to live with it after the fact, whereas Yitzchak is not. Sometimes it's easier taka for a person to just go and be most nefesh, and that's going to be the end of it, rather than having to live with the consequences for many years afterwards. As we're going to talk about now in connection with the Sutton's arguments to Avraham Avinu, he's telling him this is going to undo everything that you worked for during your lifetime, whereas Yitzchak has less of that, and there's on and on and on, there's all kinds of reasons given. And then on the other hand, the fact is, it is a tremendous chus for Yitzchak as well, and then we do sometimes mention that in davening as well. Actually, yeah, Bob Anel, by the way, has a very interesting take on it. You know, we talked about yesterday, how old was Yitzchak at the time of the Akedah? You have the range of ages all the way from Seder Adurus, brings one opinion that he was 2, and then you have the most widespread, well-known opinion that he was 37. Yeah, Bob Anel has an interesting take on it. First of all, he's one of the ones who says that maybe Yitzchak was younger, but he says Yitzchak actually had no idea that he's going to be, now, like this, we usually say that the Yitzchak at first didn't know, and he asks his father, where's the sheet? And Avram tells him, Kim Yirloya Sela Oila B'ni, and now he realizes it means that I'm going to be the Seh, and nevertheless, Vayechol Shneim Yachtav, they still continue to walk together, meaning they're both, as Rashi says, they're both sincere about it, they're both going to follow what the Eivishter says. As the Medrash puts it, the one is Hoylich Lishchot, and the other one Hoylich Lishchot. The one is going to Shecht, the other one is going to be Shechted, and they're both Vayechol Shneim Yachtav, and they're both going with that same Tmimus and listening to the Eivishter. The Abba Benel has an interesting take on it. He says, even after that, no, Yitzchak didn't figure out yet that he's going to be the Korban. So he thought, you know, they're going to go there. They'll find an animal over there. Only when Avraham took him and started tying him up on the Mizbeach over there, then he realized what's going on. And then he davened. You know, we say in davening, Mishano the Yitzchok Benesh Kshenakenagam Mizbeach, where we find that Yitzchok davened at that point. The Abba Benel says that's when he first realized that now he's about to be brought as a Korban. Okay. So, getting back to the Gemara over here, so Hashem, we know when Hashem first tells Avraham about to bring Yitzchak for a korban, he says, "Kach no es bincha es yichidcha asher ahavta es Yitzchak." So yesterday we learned about why Hashem says "Kach no," please take, because he was saying he's telling Avraham that you need to pass this one so people don't think ein mamash b'rishonim, the other ones are not nearly as significant. So now Hashem tells him, so why does Hashem tell him all these details, kachna as bincha, as yichidcha, as asher ahavta, as Yitzchak? So we understand, therefore, that it means that there was a back and forth between Hashem and Avraham about it. So Hashem tells him, as bincha, take your son. So Avram says, Shnei Bonim, Yeshli, I have two sons. Which one? So Hashem says, Es Yechidcha, your only son. Avraham says, Zeyacha Be'ima, Zeyacha Be'ima. Neither one is my only son, but each one is an only son to his mother, Hagar and Sarah, respectively. So Hashem tells him, fine, Asher Ahavta, the one that you love. Avraham says, Tarayu Rechini Lehu, I love them both. So Hashem says, that's Yitzchak. Now what I'm talking about is Yitzchak. V'chol kach lama, so why does Hashem go through all of that? Why does Hashem go through all of that? Why doesn't he just tell him straight out, and the reason is Kadesh Leti Torah Daite Olam, so he doesn't get confused. If Hashem just tells him out of the blue, take Yitzchak and bring him as a korban, then Avraham might like he wouldn't know what to do with himself. Like this, when it's a back and forth like that, and Avraham is getting so to speak more and more used to the idea that it's gonna be, then therefore he's doing it with a full clear mind. Now, Marsha brings over here, actually, from the Mizrahi on the Pasuk, that makes a different point, that Hashem couldn't have just told him straight out, Kach Noach Yitzchak, because, so he says, the Mizrahi explains that Hashem could have just told him, Kach Noach Yitzchak, again, why there's been Chas Yechidcha Asher Ahavta. Marsha says, come on, there may have been a lot of other Yitzchaks. The question is, fine, Hashem has to tell him as Bincha, fine, in order to say, your son Yitzchak, as opposed to any of the other Yitzchaks that might be out there. Actually, the Chidah points out in Pesach Einayim, what other Yitzchaks? Yitzchak, Avraham Avinu's son, was the first one given that name because Tzchoik also the other came, and because, as the Medrash tells us, the letters of his name, Rashi brings it on the Pasuk, the letters of his name represent the events in his and Avraham's and Sarah's lifetimes, 10 Nisyonis, 90 years of Sarah, 8 Ches for 8 days of Bris Milah, 100 for Avraham's age, so nobody else has that name. What do you mean? Marsha is saying there could have been other Yitzchaks, and Hashem has to specify. Beni Yoyada answers back, okay, outside of Avraham's family and retinue, there might not have been any other Yitzchaks, but in the 37 years since Yitzchak was born, yes, there may well have been people of Avraham's circle who named their kids Yitzchak after him, the same way as, look how many people nowadays are named after the Rebbe and after previous Rebbeim and so forth. So yeah, once the name Yitzchak was invented for Yitzchak Avinu, then many other people of Avraham's Talmidim and then Talmidim of Talmidim may have started using it. In any case, Marsha says you can't say that Hashem could have just said Es Yitzchak, because there may have been other Yitzchaks. Rather, the question is, why does he have to say Asher Asi Chidcha Asher Ahavta? It could have just said Kachnos Bincha Es Yitzchak. And therefore, so the answer is that there was this back and forth, that Hashem didn't want that. There was this back and forth. Shaloiti Torah Daite Olav, Savram doesn't get confused, and so now when he's actually going to do it, he's going to do it with a clear mind. Then Yehoyada brings an interesting point in this also. He brings that part of the conversation back and forth is when Hashem is saying kach na, and as we learned yesterday, Hashem has to sort of saying, like, I have to plead with you, Avraham, to please pass the test. And Avraham, being an anav, being a nochi of Eifel, one of the greatest anavim in history, he's like, this you consider a big thing compared to what I owe you, Hashem. This is a small thing. So even if it's as bincha, even if it's as so he learns he doesn't get confused, but also so he doesn't get proud of himself, like, look what a big thing I'm doing for Hashem. No, Avraham is this is a plainikite compared to what else I could be giving Hashem. I once heard, when I was a bacher, I heard a cute vert on this from a Meir Kahana, Hayad. He said, you see from this the danger of asking too many questions. He said, imagine if Avraham had not asked. Hashem tells him, Kach Noach Bincha. And Avraham says, okay, then that means Yishmael. look what we have assured ourselves all these years. Yeah, well, that's what they claim, yeah. But the mayor's point was, Taka, it should have been that way, and look how much Soros we would have been saved from them over the centuries, yeah. Next. Kodmai Satan Laderach. Now, when Avraham and Yitzchak set out on the way, then the Satan comes ahead and tries to interfere with it. He's trying to talk Avraham out of doing it. So the Gemara is going to give the dialogue between the Satan and Avraham mostly in the words of Psukim from Sefer Iyov. In context, what it is after Iyov has suffered all the tremendous disasters that he did with his possessions and his family and him himself being very, very sick, so his three friends come to try to comfort him, and he gives a long speech complaining, why did I ever have to be born, and so on and so forth. And then the first one to speak up is his friend Eliphaz, who starts by telling him basically, like, how is it you get discouraged so easily? And don't you, and he goes on to say, a few psukim later, he says that, don't you realize nobody innocent ever suffers like that so terribly. In other words, the implication is you must have done something wrong. And back and forth throughout many of the dialogues in Sefer Iyov, the friends, Eliphaz and to some extent the other ones are all trying to claim to Iyov, you must have done something wrong. You need to figure out what it is and do tshuva. And that's why all these things happened. In fact, the Gemara tells us in Bava Metzia that they were over on with that on a Noah's Dvarim. The Gemara actually gives an example of a Noah's Dvarim would be when somebody is suffering troubles and then disasters like that would be to speak to him like the way Eliphaz is speaking to him over here would be an example of a Noah's Dvarim. And in the end, Hashem tells them that you didn't speak to me correctly because you're putting down Iyov when he didn't do anything wrong, or at least not something that deserved this, etc. Anyway, so now the Gemara is going to give the dialogue between the Satan and Avraham, mostly using the words of those psukim. And the idea is, Maharsha says, there's significance to that, because Eliphaz was, Eliphaz was, the Gemara tells us in Bava Basra, was one of the Nevi'ei Umas HaOlam. And who is Eliphaz? He is the son of the Chazal, identify him with the Eliphaz, who was the son of Esau.
Eliphaz.
What?
Same one.
The Chazal identifies the same one, right. So now then, so on the one hand, he's descended from Esav. And who is the Sultan, also known as the Samach Mem, is the Malach of Esav. And on the other hand, Eliphaz is also Avraham's great-grandson, because if he's Esav's son, then he's Avraham's great-grandson, and therefore it's perfect to have his words to Iyov stand in for the argument back and forth between the Sultan and Avraham on this. So Kodmai Sultan Laderach, so the Sultan comes ahead and encounters him on the way to try to talk him out of it. Omale, and he starts by using an expression from a pasuk. Anisa dover elecha sila. How could it be that he's testing you with a matter which is going to wear you out? So in context, what Iyov is saying, something like this. Hanisa dover elecha sila. How could it be the first time that something was tried out on you, some disasters? Then right away you seem to be tired out and you're lashing out and complaining. Why did Hashem create you in the first place? And everything seems to be run by the mazolos, and Hashem is not and Hashem's presence is not evident. But here the Satan is taking it in a different sense. Hanisa dover. How could it be that he, Hashem, is testing you with a matter? Hanisa, like in Nisa. As Avraham, Elecha, and giving you a matter, telling you an instruction, Sila, which is going to wear you out, which is going to it's going to cut off your descendants. You're not going to have descendants from Yitzchak anymore if you do this. So he's trying to talk Avraham out of it. And he continues with more psukim from Eliphaz's speech. Hine yisauta rabim. Behold, you have given muster to the many. So you've taught the whole world and brought them close to Hashem with your words. V'yadayim rofes to chazik, and you have strengthened weak hands. In other words, in context, Eliphaz is telling Iyov, up until now, whenever other people were having troubles, you would always be the one to try to commiserate with them and make them feel better and then strengthen them. And now look what you're doing. But here the Satan means, in other words, up until now, Avraham, you've spent over 100 years teaching the whole world about Hashem, and when their hands were weak in Emunah, then you've been strengthening them. He continues, Koshu Yekimun Milacha, and when you have somebody who's stumbling, then your words would make him stand upright. So look at that. You've been doing all of this on behalf of Hashem, and now what is Hashem doing to you? How is he paying you back? And he's giving you this instruction which is gonna wear you out and cut off your descendants. So the Oruch HaNer points out another meaning of it as well, another meaning of what the Satan is telling Avraham. He's telling him that what you're going to do now is going to completely go against everything you've been teaching the whole world for decades. You've been teaching them that the Eibishter runs the world and he doesn't want human sacrifices, which were very common in those times, and Hashem has Rachmanos and so on and so forth. And here you're going to go do the exact opposite. Everybody's going to say, what a faker. Why should we listen to anything he ever taught us all these years? So and now he continues. Ki ata sovei elecha batela, and now it's coming to you, and you're worn out, and you're going to do something which is going to wear you out and destroy you. So Avraham answers him with a pasuk from Tehillim, ani besumi elecha. I will go in my wholeheartedness. In other words, I'm not playing games. I'm not asking. I'm not second-guessing Hashem. Hashem tells me an instruction. It may be difficult. It may be you're arguing it's going to wear me out. It's going to destroy my posterity, etc. I don't care. Hashem gave me the instruction. I'm following it. Now, what is this doing over here? If we're quoting back and forth, psukim from Eliphaz's speech, why all of a sudden do we have a pasuk in Tehillim over here? Marsha points out that the next thing that the Sotan is going to say, taken from Eliphaz's speech, he's going to mention the word v'soim drachecha, the perfection of your ways. Like until now, you Eov have been acting in a perfect way, and you Avraham have been acting in a perfect way. So in other words, why would that be? Why would he bring up that point? Because Avraham is saying that I have my tomim tiyei mashem alekecha. I'm following without question what Hashem says. And the Sutton is telling him that's the wrong thing to be doing in this case. So the Sutton answers him back with more words, with more psukim from Eev's speech. Hala yir oscha kislosecha, isn't your yira of Hashem kislosecha? Now there's a number of different meanings what kislosecha can mean. Marshal refers over here to a Tosfos in Bava Metzia in that sugya of Einas Dvarim, where the Gemara mentions over there that an example of Einas Dvarim would be to talk to a person who's suffering, like the way Eliphaz is talking to Eov. Tosfos explains over there that kislasecha is a lashon bitochen. So halo yir oscha kislasecha, hasn't it been all the time that you've been fearing Hashem and trusting in Hashem, and now when things are going wrong, then it must mean that you lost some of that fear of Hashem and some of that trust in Hashem, and therefore Hashem allowed this to happen to you. So that would be a nice dvarim to accuse him wrongly of that. So that's one meaning, is he can be telling him that you're, until now you've had fear of Hashem and you've been trusting in Hashem, and now look how Hashem is treating you. This would be the Sutton's argument. However, Marshall says that no, a better explanation is that kislosecha is maloshin ksil, which means a fool, which is actually how Rashi explains it on the positive. So the Sutton is telling him, your fear of Hashem, that's foolishness. This is idiocy. You're going to go shech your son, and what's that going to do to your descendants, and what's that going to do to, again, to everything that you taught all this time? So Avraham answers him back with words from the pasuk. Zachar nam hu naki avad. Well, remember now, is there ever anybody who was innocent and was completely lost? So I know that I'm innocent in Hashem's eyes. I know I haven't done something wrong that Hashem should punish me by cutting off my children. So I don't know what it is, but for me, tamim tiyei Hashem alekecha. Hashem is giving me instructions. I don't know how it's going to turn out, but I know the Eibishter gave me a promise, ki b'Yitzchak yikardo l'chazara, and the same Eibishter is telling me to go and bring Yitzchak as a korban, and therefore I'm going to do it, and I'm not asking questions.
The Eliphaz here is the same Eliphaz
from Eov. So that's the thing. So the Eliphaz here, these are psukim from Eov. So Marashah explains this is actually the same Eliphaz who was Esav's son. And therefore, that's you were out for a minute, but Marashah explains this is why. Why is the Gemara using psukim from Eliphaz's speech to represent the back and forth between the Sutton and Avraham? Because Eliphaz, on the one hand, is a son of Esav, which means that his malach is the Samach Mem, which is the one who's having this whole debate with Avraham. And also, on the other hand, he's a great-grandson of Avraham. So therefore, words of his can stand in both for the Samach Mem's words and for Avraham's words. Yeah. A couple of the Mephoshim over here refer to the Medrash that gives even more details about the back and forth between them. One of them is Yosef brings that he's telling him that considering what the consequences are going to be if you follow through with this, wouldn't it be better to disobey Hashem the one time and then Abraham says never mind that, even if Hashem told me something bigger than this, I would still do it. V'yosef al dayan, even Hashem would tell me to sacrifice myself, I'm not being mahara. So the Sutton tells him people are going to call you a shoyfef domim, you're a bloodthirsty person. And Abraham says, I'm an ass cane, I'm doing it, and I don't care if that's the consequence. So now at this point, the Sutton sees that Abraham is not listening to him and is not going to give up. So he quotes him, Also, another pasuk from later on in Alifa's speech, the Eli Dover Yigunav, a word has been sneaked to me. In context, this is after Alifa spends a few psukim telling Eiv, you must have done something wrong, and this is why this happened, because this is the way the Eivishter runs the world. Afterwards, a few psukim later, he tells how, like, he had a dream of Nevuah. As we said before, he was one of the Nevi'im of Solom, where it was explained to him about that nobody is perfect in Hashem's eyes, and everybody is always guilty of something in Hashem's eyes, and therefore Hashem will punish them in this world. And he goes on and then talks about that at some length. So here, the Sotan is using that same phrase, Ve'ela Dover Yigunav, in a somewhat different sense. He says, Kach Shamaiti Me'achorei HaParagud, this is what I heard from behind the partition, so to speak. You have a partition between Hashem and the Malachim, and in terms of Chassidus, we have, to talk about in the Zohar and in Sifrei Kabbalah, you have what's called the Prosa, just like you have a Poroichus within the Kodesh HaKadoshim and the Kodesh, the same way you have a Prosa, you have, so to speak, a curtain between Atzilus and Biyah, and between the Olamus Biyah themselves. Anyway, so I heard from Achorei HaParagud, from behind the curtain. Yeah, from there. Bishmol heard from Achorei HaParagud. Yeah. So, in other words, that's what we're talking about. The place there, we're talking about, so to speak, the place of Hashem Himself. So there's what's heard from there is absolute truth. And so the Sultan says, what I heard from there, Sela Oila Ben Yitzchak Oila. In the end, there's going to be a sheep for the Oila and not Yitzchak. So Amalei, so Avraham tells him, you know what? Kach Oinsher Shabbadai. This is the punishment of a liar. Shachil Alma Emes Ein Shremin Loi. Even if he says the truth, we're not going to listen to him. So in the end, of course, what the Sultan said was true. But why Taka didn't Avraham believe him afterwards? Afterwards, he believed the Malach. When the Malach comes all of a sudden and yells out to him, Avraham, Avraham, Al Tishlach Yodcha Lanar, then he believes him. Why not? Why didn't he believe the Sultan over here? Because he saw the Sultan was already coming to him with lies, so therefore he's already lost his credibility. Whereas when the Malach tells him, Al Tishlach Yodcha Lanar, then fine, Avraham doesn't know yet, but nevertheless, the Malach is telling him, and the Malach has a Cheskas Kashrus, and therefore he'll listen to him. In fact, actually, Marsha says that actually, you know, in that Posik that we're quoting, we're more only quoting maybe half of the Lifaz's Posik, the Eli Jabba Yugunav, the rest of that Posik continues, Vatikach Ozni Shemetz Menhu, my ear has gotten a little trace of it. So in other words, there may well be, Avraham is saying, there may well be a trace of truth in what you're saying, but nevertheless, because you already lied, then you lost your credibility, and therefore, even if there might be any truth to it, then I don't care, I'm not listening to you. So one point is why is the Sultan telling that to Avraham? So one idea is because Yitaka wants to weaken the force of the Nisoyan. If he can't prevent Avraham, if he can't dissuade Avraham from going, at least he can tell him, you know what, it won't be such a Nisoyan after all. But Avraham says, I'm not paying attention to what you said. Maybe it's true, maybe not. I don't care. I'm still going on the assumption that it really is that Yitzchak is going to be brought to the korban. Avraham himself, only later on, Rashi mentions on the pasuk that he asks Hashem, you know, you told me Alei Yisham Lo'ila, now you're telling me take him down. What's going on? And Hashem explains to him to begin with, when I said Alei Yisham Lo'ila, I didn't mean to actually bring him as a Korban Ola. I just meant bring him up to be a Korban Ola. But now that you brought him up, then you can bring him down, and that's been accomplished. So now the point is, in other words, Avraham didn't realize that originally. So even when the Sultan is telling him, he says, never mind, he dismisses it because the Sultan's already known to be a liar. So in other words, it was still 100% full Nisoyan.
This is
the Sultan is saying, I heard from behind the Paragud, because again, he's trying to. So this is another part of what Eliphaz says to Eiv, right? But here the Gemara is taking it. Maybe
Eliphaz was quoting this early.
Maybe. Most of what the Gemara has brought over here from Eliphaz's words is being placed here in the mouth of the Sultan. Only the words, Zachorma Nom Yunaki Ovad, is being placed in Avraham's mouth. So that was the whole back and forth, and we know on top of that, then the Medrash tells us famously that after the Sultan couldn't get to Avraham with that, he tried with Yitzchak and didn't get anywhere either, and then he made himself into a river that they couldn't cross, and they're wading through it up to their noses, and finally they dive into the Eivishter, you know, we gotta get going over here, you can't allow the Sultan to keep harassing us like this, and then the river disappeared and they were able to go on. That's one reason why we go to Tashlich by a river, is to remember the Schus of Akedah Yitzchak, the fact that they're going to go through fire and water, literally, to go for it. Okay. Fine. Now, we started learning yesterday that when it says, Vayhi Achar Hadvorim Ha'ela, we were discussing Achar what? So first, the Gemara had brought that it meant after the Sutton's accusation, where he accused Avraham that he made this whole party in celebration of Yitzchak's birth or weaning or whatever it is, and didn't bring a korban. So now the Gemara brings another opinion. Reb Levi Omer. Reb Levi says the Achar is a different thing. Achar Dvarav for Yishmael the Yitzchak. It's after a conversation between Yishmael and Yitzchak. So now Marshall explains that again, if we were saying before it was Achar Dvarav Shal Sutton, then it means it wasn't necessarily chronologically that close together, because the Sutton, we would assume the Pashtus did this Kitrug not long after the party. Why would he wait many years? Okay, we talked about yesterday the various reasons that Mephoshim give Taka why he might have waited, but Parshat Chaf, you would expect that he made the Kitrug right afterwards. Well, the same thing over here. The conversation between Yitzchak and Ishmael, the Pashtus, took place years earlier. But now, at least it means, though, that there is a direct cause and effect relationship between it and the Akedah. With that said, there are Mephoshim who learn that maybe, in fact, this conversation had to happen right before the Akedah. Yeah, Yishmael had been kicked out of the house, but still, Avraham went to visit him every so often, and Pirkei Eliezer tells a couple of interesting stories about that, and now when they went to the Akedah, then Yishmael also accompanied them, so Yishmael had been there on a visit, and then this conversation took place, and then immediately after that is the Akedah. So and then it could be that Saka Achai was in immediately afterwards. Anyway. Amalei Yishmael the Yitzchak. So what it is Yishmael tells Yitzchak, I need Godom and Chav mitzvahs. I'm greater than you as far as mitzvahs. I did a better mitzvah than you do. Sha'atam malta ben shmonas yomim. You had a bris milah when you were 8 days old. You couldn't have, you didn't even know what's going on. You couldn't have prevented it or anything. Vani ben yud gimel shana. I was 13 years old. I was fully knowledgeable of what's going on, and I still went ahead with it. And Marsha says this is part of when we have in Perek Chof Aleph over there in the previous Perek when it says that Sora saw that Yishmael was mitzachik, so that would be one of that. The mitzachik is that he's aside from the fact we know famously it means Avodah Zarah Gila Arayis and Shvichas Damim, and it means that he was shooting arrows at Yitzchak. But in addition, Marsha says it also means this, that he's mocking the mitzvah that Yitzchak has of Brit Milah and saying you're a big deal, mine is much greater. So Yitzchak answers him back. So what? You're starting up with me because of one limb, because of one body part that you were willing to sacrifice to Hashem. You know what? If Hashem told me personally, sacrifice yourself before me, then I would be prepared to sacrifice myself. So again, Marsha says doesn't necessarily mean immediately right afterwards chronologically, but at least it means now as a result of that eventually came the Akedah. Or again, it may have been Taka right afterwards. In fact, there's an interesting idea that Mephoshim say that what it was is Hashem had plans to do this Nisoyan from long before. But after all, following the mainstream opinion that Yitzchak was already an adult, you need to see, is Yitzchak going to be willing to buy into it as well? Now that Yitzchak actually said and volunteered this to Yishmael, that yes, I would be willing to do, Sashem says, good, in that case, then there's nothing holding it back, Brother Kim Nisayas Avraham. And of course, as Marsha points...
Okay, let's see. Nisoyan Yitzchak.
Say what? Nisoyan. That's what I'm saying. So we don't really call it Nisoyan Yitzchak. Nisoyan was much greater for Avraham, but why do we call it Akedah Yitzchak? Why do we focus on the Akedah particularly? So there's a famous thing, the Medrash says, that Yitzchak says to Avraham, you know, I might involuntarily jerk during the Shitta from fear of the knife, and then it's going to be a possible Shitta, so tie me up first. So it shows that Yitzchak is not just willing to go on Mesiras Nefesh. He's actually, you know, he has the presence of mind, and he has the level of Mesiras Nefesh to even be concerned about the little pitchifkis, the little tiny things like that. And for that, it's called Akedas Yitzchak specifically. So again, now in this case, Hashem didn't actually tell him personally, Zvachatz Mecholofanai. Hashem told him through Avraham, but again, you know, as Marshall points out, if he hadn't been willing to go along with it, certainly Avraham wouldn't have been able to literally overpower him and tie him up. It had to be that Yitzchak was willing to do it by Yehoshua Shneim Yachdov. So even though Yitzchak didn't hear it directly from Hashem, but it's still, and it's even greater in a way, the fact that he didn't hear it from Hashem, the fact that he heard it from Avraham means in a way that makes the mitzvah all the greater. Taka, what's the answer, by the way, to Yishmael's challenge that the Bris Milah at 13 verses 8, so the famous Sicha in one of the early volumes of the Kurta Sichas, where the Rebbe points out, Adonai, he on his tennis. When a Bris is done at 13, like Yishmael, then it's done. It's based on Tam Vadas. He knows logically that Hashem said, and we gotta listen to what Hashem said. But that's not good enough for our relationship with Hashem. Our relationship has to be an essential one, an atzmiyistika one, L'maylami Tam Vadas, and therefore we Taka do it specifically when the baby is too little to know what's going on over here. Getting back to matters of false Nevi'im, so in this connection, so you have a false Navi, but then you also have, as we touched on before, that you can have a true Navi who might give an instruction against the Torah, and in many cases we're supposed to follow him. That's how we get into this whole discussion of the Akedah, is an example of that. We know that Eivishter says Lois Tirtzach, but he told Avram to take Yitzchak and bring him as a Korban. And how does Yitzchak listen to him? Because Avram was Muchzak as a Navi, and we mentioned the same thing of the Yoav Bar HaKarmel. And for that matter, when we talked about yesterday about Micha and telling the other guy to hit him, that's also an example of that, because after all, the Torah says, you know, I'll have to hit another Yid. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabba Bahu Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Bakol, when it comes to all other mitzvahs in the Torah, Im Yom Elecho Novi Avor Al Divrei Torah, if a Novi, somebody who's already been established as a Novi, tells you Avor Al Divrei Torah violates some particular thing in Torah, Shna Loi, then listen to what he says. Because the Torah tells us, Elov Tishmon, you should listen to him, and that means even he's telling you to temporarily violate a mitzvah. Chutz me'avodas kechavim, with the exception of Avodah Zarah, sha'afilu mamad l'chachamim be'emtzar akiyah, even if the Navi were to make the sun stand still in the middle of the sky and show an open oisei moifes, as we have in this week's parasha, al tishmalo, then you still don't listen to him. But with other mitzvahs you do. And one reason behind that is, based on the Rambam points out, you know, we have the Gemara tells us the first two gibberish, Anoshi and Loyelacha, we heard directly from the Eivishter. So therefore, no later Navi can override that even temporarily. The other mitzvahs we heard through Moshe Rabbeinu. Well, very well then, another Navi is given the power to temporarily override what Moshe told us.
Shvichas Damim, we know. What about Gilei Arayis?
So, Shvichas Damim, where do we know? I mean, we have, okay, we sent it from Gilei Arayis. So one example would be actually with the Navi Hosea. The Eivishter tells him to marry Eishes Nunim, a woman who's a Zoyna, even though that's not such a kosher thing to do. But he was given a Nevuah, and therefore he did it. Are there other examples of that? I don't know offhand.
Yeshua married Rachav.
I mean, that's true. Actually, that's a good point, actually, because she was from the seven nations of Canaan, and on the face of it, you're not allowed to intermarry with them. Actually, Tosfos does discuss that in Sota. I think Tosfos discusses a couple of possibilities. First of all, maybe they only became also to marry after the Jewish people entered out Israel. He or she was Megayer before that, or at least she started on the process of Gerus before that when she told the Tumaraglim that I'm repudiating the Avodah Zarah and I recognize Hashem as the only true power. So therefore maybe she's not also in the first place. I think Toysfus or other Rishonim also discussed, even though she lived in Yericho, maybe she herself was actually not from one of the seven nations, maybe she was a Goita from someplace else who lived over there and practiced her profession over there. So that might be Taka an example as well. But the thing is, though, that you can only listen to a Navi to violate a mitzvah only when it's a one-time, temporary thing. If he tells you this mitzvah is canceled forever, then you know he's a Navi Sheker. Now here, you're sure the Pashto stayed married to Rocha for the rest of his life, so I don't know if that would work so well.
Carmel is an example.
What?
Eliyahu
Bar HaKarmel is an example of Shkut Echutz, yeah. Yeah, it's an example of Yisrokar, yeah. Okay. So Tanya of Yosef really, I mean, he gear Torah l'sof daita shal avodas kechavim. Hashem in the Torah knows how far things can go with avodah zarah. That Hashem gives it a certain power in the world to be able to accomplish things that are seemingly beyond teva. L'fichach nosna Torah mem shalaba. Therefore, the Torah gives avodah zarah a certain degree of rulership over the world. And yet, shafilu mamim l'chochana be'emtzar akiyah. And yet, you have to know that even if a prophet of avodah zarah causes the sun to stand still in the middle of the sky, al tishmalo, you shouldn't listen to him. So even if you see that, in other words, Nothna Tolem Amshalaba means, in other words, even if you see that you have a Navi in the name of Avodah Zarah, or he's telling you even a Navi Emes, he's telling you to worship Avodah Zarah, even as a temporary thing, and he has tremendous Memshalah, he's making the sun stand still in the sky, nevertheless, Al Tishmalai. On the other hand, Tanya, with the Rebbe, Amar Rabbi Akiva, Chas V'Shalom, Sha'akadosh Baruch Hu Mamed Chamer L'Oyver Etzonei, Chas V'Shalom, to even think that Hashem would cause the sun to stand still for people who violate his will. If you have a false Navi, if you have a Navi in the name of Avodah Zarah, no, it's impossible that Hashem should allow him that much power to cause the sun to stand still. Ela, to gun Hananya ben Azur. You know what would be an example? What is the Torah talking about? V'nosan elachal oisei mofes, where it includes that he gives a sign, means, for example, means he gave you an oisei mofes when he was a true Navi. So he gave you an oisei mofes, and that helped establish him as a true Navi. And now, later on, to gun Hananya ben Azur. So now you have an example of Hananya ben Azur. Shem t'chilosa hayo Navi emes, a little Navi sheker. He started out as a true Navi, and then as we learned a couple of days ago, he went bad and became a Navi sheker. First, he said he plagiarized a Navua from Yumiya, or to be exact, not exactly, he plagiarized it, but he deduced something from that Navua and passed it off as his own, where Yumiya would have had the right to do that, but he himself didn't. So then he eventually became a Navi sheker, and Yumiya tells him, you're going to die with Misa B'dei Shemayim, and in fact, he did die not long after that. So now he had started out as a true Navi, so he originally had the power to make the sun stand still. Now, if even such a true Navi tells you worship Avodah Zarah, even as a one-time thing, then the Torah is telling you, Lo Sishma El Dirai Navi Ahu, don't listen to him, don't pay any attention to him. The Eivishter, you yourself heard from the Eivishter, Lo Yilacha the Kim Achirim, and therefore you can't listen to any Navi against that. To round out, by the way, as far as Hanani ben Azur, I know my son taught about that piece on Thursday, but a couple of interesting tidbits about that I don't know if he mentioned. First of all, Hananya says of him, especially since we have time anyway, Hananya gives a nevuah over there. He says, in 2 years, Hashem says, I'm going to break the power of Babel. And the Gemara had explained, he learned that as a Chavah Choymer. Yirmiyah had said a nevuah that Hashem is going to break the power of Elam. Hananya says, well, if Elam were only allies of Babel, how much more so Babel themselves is going to be destroyed? Fine. But where did he get the 2 years? Where did he get this 2 years from? So I once saw a very interesting explanation, and unfortunately I don't remember the source of it, that many years earlier, now this was a few years after Babel had taken over as the world's superpower and conquered Eretz Yisrael. This was in the times of King Tzidkiyahu, a few years before the Churban Bayis Rishon. However, many years earlier, Menashe, Melech Yehuda, who we're going to learn extensively about in the next parak, at one point, after 22 years of his kingship, he was captured by the soldiers of Asher and taken in chains to Babel, and he was tortured over there until finally he did tshuva. We'll learn about it in the next parak in detail. Now, it comes out, if you look at the Seder Hasmanim, it comes out that from then until this time when Hananya is giving the fake nevuah of his is 68 years. Now, Hananya was aware that there was a nevuah already from Yirmiyah that Babel's power is going to last for 70 years. So what he did is, he took it, instead of taking it from when Babel first came to power as a world power, he claimed to take it from when they first captured Menashe and brought him and put him in jail and put him in chains, and therefore we only have 2 more years to go. So that's where he got his 2 years from. Interesting fact. Unfortunately, I don't remember where I heard it. So one other detail over there is Yumiya tells him over there that Hashana Atameis, he tells him this year you're going to die because you said a false nevuah. Now in the end the pasuk says that Hananya died b'chodesh Hashvi in the seventh month. Now the seventh month is Tishrei, that's already next year. So what's going on? If he died next year, then it didn't come true that he died that year. So Rashi brings on the pesukim over there a very interesting point from the Medrash. He actually died right before Rosh Hashanah. But he told his family, don't bury me right away, wait till after Yom Tov, that way people will think that I die after Rosh Hashanah, and they're going to think that Yumiya's nevuah was not completely true. Meanwhile, actually, Yumiya's nevuah had been Hashana Atameis, this year you're going to die, which the implication is, Rashi points out there is an implication in this, this year you're going to die, but you're only going to be buried next year. So it didn't work to undercut Yumiya's nevuah, because the very words that Yumiya had said itself implied that he was going to try to pull exactly that shtick. Okay. Yeah. All right. Yumiya and Mashiach Rola. Chofav, today's Chofav, the Yartzeit of Rav Levi Yitzchak. So now we're in the time of Ikvasa de Meshicha, and it's getting longer and longer. It's very, very long, and yet ain't Ben David Bar. In fact, there's a piece from Oblivia Yitzchak where he talks about that the Zohar brings an idea that the Golos should have lasted maximum 1,000 years, and instead, as the Zohar brings a pasuk, Higdil Olai Okev, that the Okev. So what it is actually the Okev is 172. It was 172 years from Churban Bayis Sheni until the end of the fourth millennium. by rights, it could have been that Mashiach could have come right then in the year 4000. As the Gemara tells us, we'll have it later on in Perek Chelik, Shnei Alofim, Yemosa Mashiach. There's supposed to be 2,000 years of Yemosa Mashiach beginning from the year 4000. Meanwhile, Higdol Olai Okev, Hashem has made that Okev longer and longer, and we're already 1950 and 60 some years in Golos, and haven't come to the Gola yet. So therefore, so now that Rebbe points out, every year when it comes, the Yom HaSkalkus, the Yom HaLola of Rebbe Yitzchak, every year, so it's a Zman Mesugal, it's a very appropriate time to take on a Chlotas Tovus to increase in all activities of Achlotas Hayadus and Achlotas Toto and Mitzvaseha, as we learn from what Rebbe Yitzchak himself did, what he worked and then toiled in that all the way to the point of actual Mesiras Nefesh. You look at it, Rebbe Yitzchak lived to be only 66. His son, our Rebbe, lived into his 90s, and then the rest of the family also lived into their 70s and 80s, so it's very easy to see that Rebbe passed away young as a result of what they put him through. All right, continuing with halachas of tefillin, we've been talking about the brachas on the shoyad, the bracha on the shorosh, and the dinim about not interrupting between the shoyad and the shorosh. Now, up until now, the Alter Rebbe had been pointing out that he had been following one opinion that says that what it is when you would say the bracha laniach tefillin on the shoyad, and then you would say on mitzvah tefillin on the shorosh, and only if you interrupt between them, then you would say both brachas, then you would say laniach tefillin again as well as on mitzvah tefillin on the shorosh. Now, on the other hand, the Alter Rebbe goes on to say, yesh oimenim, that some say, and this is how the Alter Rebbe brings it in the Siddur, and this is how we do it, the tefillin shorosh never needs two brachas. It would need one bracha, like all other mitzvahs. The mitzvah, the bracha, mitzvah tefillin, is only if you talked in between. If you didn't talk in between, then lahaniach tefillin goes on both of them. So now, the Alter Rebbe goes on to say, the minhag in these lands, the general Ashkenazic minhag, is like the first tzvara, and which is how the Ramah paskins. So therefore, so they say laniach tefillin on the shoyad and always al mitzvah tefillin on the shorosh. And if they talk in between, then they say laniach tefillin on the shoyad and again laniach tefillin and al mitzvah tefillin on the shorosh. Meanwhile, the Alter Rebbe and the Siddur paskins, and the other Alter Rebbe and the Siddur paskins like the second opinion, which is what we follow. Sfaradim do the same thing. Now, the Rav Chadamilsa, to do it as the best possible way, then the Alter Rebbe says, if you're following that minhag, that Ashkenazic minhag of saying both brachas on the shorosh, then after you say the bracha mitzvah tefillin, you should be saying baruch shem kvod malchus olam vod, like you would after any bracha levatola. Because in other words, maybe that bracha was not needed. And therefore, so you would say baruch shem after that. And the same thing, so in other words, the Seder for Ashkenazim would be laniach tefillin on shoyad, you don't talk, al mitzvah tefillin on the shorosh, and then baruch shem in case it was a bracha levatola. And then if you have to say in that, according to that minhag, two brachas on shorosh, you talk between them, then you would say baruch shem after the second bracha, because again, according to that second svara, the first bracha laniach tefillin was levatola, and now so now what you should do is so now if you're going to be doing that, if you're going to be saying laniach tefillin on the shorosh, then you should also touch the tefillin shoyad, and that can be considered as though you're putting it on now, and therefore laniach tefillin is relevant. So therefore, it's not completely bracha levatola, but nevertheless, it's still a shtickle bracha levatola, and therefore you would say baruch shem. The bracha laniach tefillin then does go on the shorosh as well. Again, according to the one minhag, you only say laniach tefillin on the shorosh, and according to the other minhag, which is all minhag, you don't say either one at all. So therefore, you should also not do as you should try to minimize the hefsek between them. Therefore, don't wind the ritzua of the shoyad around the arm until after shorosh, because those windings is just minhag ba'alma. It's not really part of the mitzvah. So therefore, you shouldn't be doing it in between. However, the Arizal does hold that you should wind those seven windings before the shorosh. He holds that is part of the mitzvah as well, and therefore it's not a hefsek at all. And that is in fact how we do it. When it comes to the winding around the hand and the finger, everybody agrees that that's not an actual main part of the mitzvah, and therefore you definitely don't do that in between. So this is the result. The result is, this is why we have, you put on the shoyad, you do the wrappings, the seven windings around your arm. You do the three windings around the biceps, and then the seven around the three and four around the arm, and then at that point you kind of put it loosely on your hand, and then at that point you put on the shorosh, and then you go back on, and then you go back to finishing the one on the hand and the finger. And again, the point is that way you're minimizing the amount of hefsek between the shoyad and the shorosh. See ya.